This morning we want to consider, well, we're going to start out looking at a mother, actually, but not in a good way, not in a good example, and this is not a Mother's Day lesson. I don't do a lot of holiday lessons, so to speak, sometimes. We want to look this morning at the idea of keeping our focus ahead. Our title says, "Do Not Look Back," and that is a fairly close quote from Genesis chapter 19 and verse 17, where we read the instruction given to Lot and his family regarding leaving the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know the story of Lot, how he separated himself from Abraham because of their great wealth on both sides, and the land was not able to take care of both families. So they separated, and Abraham said, "Lot, you choose which you want." And Lot looked out there and saw the great green grasses, and he headed out into the plains, and he ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, it tells us he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And so we understand and we know that story. We know that Lot and his family lived there for a long period of time. They spent their lives in that area, and they became very closely associated with the things that were going on in that particular town. And what we realize in listening to all of this story and keeping these things in mind is they were vexed. They were troubled. They were given all sorts of difficulty and trial in regards to their lives. Peter tells us that that righteous man Lot was vexed in his soul. But of course, the big part of that story is God looked down upon Sodom and Gomorrah and said, "This place is wicked. It is consumed with evil." In fact, some of the language used in regards to Sodom and Gomorrah is very similar to the language we see in regards to Noah and the world during his time. God said, "I'm going to destroy it." But because of Abraham, and I've always thought that was interesting, because of Abraham, he brought Lot and his family out. Now, Peter tells us that Lot was a righteous man, so it was not all Abraham. But you remember the discussion that God had with Abraham. And Abraham kept asking, "Lord, what if there's only 10? Lord, ended up, there were 5 people that were saved out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and only 4 of them survived. Because despite the specific instruction given to her, Lot's wife looked back. And we want to talk about that idea of looking back this morning. A couple of aspects that we will consider as we go through and look at that. And we want to consider what is the better attitude to have, as is expressed by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Philippian brethren. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But the reason for looking at a lesson like this is I'm convinced that each and every one of us has times in our life that we think, "You know, I wish I'd have done that differently." Or, "Why did I do that in that manner? What could I have done differently?" And this can happen in various aspects of our life, whether we're looking back at raising our children or our career choice or living in a particular place or how we conducted ourselves as we grew up in our parents' home and things that may have happened at that particular time. All of us have things that we look back and I wish I'd have done differently, but do we let those things pull us down? Do we let those things distract us and get in our way? Also, I'm convinced that all of us have opportunities, and we often hear people talk about the good old days, how things used to be and how they were all so great. And we can get caught up in those situations as well. So that's why we want to look at this morning. While we need to learn from our past mistakes, and certainly who we are today is a result of our past life and the attitudes and such that we had and we've developed over the years, we need to keep in mind that we should not dwell upon those things. And I think that's more the idea of what's being presented here. Not that we can't look back and think, but that we don't let those things distract us. One of the reasons for this is Jesus himself uses this as a warning to those that were listening to him in Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, beginning in particular in verse 22, Jesus starts talking about his second coming. And certainly there could be some discussion about whether he's talking about his final return or the destruction, the return and the destruction of Jerusalem, or a number of different things, and there's lots of discourse in regards to that. Jesus said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, 'Look here, look there.' Do not go away and do not run after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating and they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed." When we read these passages, the overall idea is, brethren, be ready. Be prepared. Know that it's coming. Don't be like everyone else, just going on about your business and not giving any consideration whatsoever to what's happening. Be aware of the signs and be ready, because it's going to come at a time when you may not expect it. So always be on guard. Then, in verse 30, it will be the same just on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Jesus puts an emphasis on the turning back of Lot's wife that maybe we don't think about so much when we consider that. And putting it in this context of be ready, be prepared, always be ready for the return, he also reminds them there's no going back. It's not enough to be ready to go, but when we go, we must put all effort toward moving forward. We can't look back at what had been happened, because we're not to be distracted at this time. I don't remember a lot from my high school track days, and I say that as if there were a lot. I had one semester of track I ran in order to get my PE credit. But I do remember one of the things Coach Clem told us. He said, "Don't look at what's coming up behind you. Just keep looking at the finish line." I never had to worry. There was nobody coming up behind me except the guy that was in first place was fixing to lap me. But I do remember that. Because you know what happens when you're trying to run and you keep looking back behind you. You either run into something or you trip over something. And I think that's an idea that we need to keep in mind in what Jesus is talking about here. You're surrounded with the signs that tell you, "I've returned." And especially when we look at this in light of the destruction of Jerusalem that was going to take place in the life of these brethren. You're surrounded with all these things telling you to get out. You need to get out. Don't be looking back. Don't be going back into the house and grabbing your favorite vase. Don't go back and get your pillow or your blanket. Get moving. Move forward, not backward. And I think we need this warning just as much today as Lot's wife needed it in the days of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the brethren The Jews who were listening to Jesus at this time needed it. We need to be reminded that looking back is a distraction. I don't know why Lot's wife looked black. There's any number of reasons she might have. Remember, she left children, probably grandchildren, in that city. They had son-in-laws and daughters and sons who did not respond to their pleas to come with us. If you remember, in fact, Lot, his two daughters, and his wife actually had to be pulled out of their house and taken out of Sodom. They didn't go voluntarily. So it could very well be she looked back thinking, my children are gone. Lost everything that's important to me. And, you know, we can kind of sympathize with that. We're concerned about those that we may leave behind. But we need to make sure that doesn't get in our way of moving forward. By looking back, Lot's wife lost her momentum to go. By looking back, she took her focus off of her husband, her daughters, the new life that they might have elsewhere, because she was distracted by what she couldn't do anything about. Maybe she looked back because she remembered the good times that they had had there in that place, that they had raised their children, they had enjoyed their friends and the community, and there's no telling why. But in doing so, she distracted herself from what she was supposed to be focused on. Moving forward, getting away from those things. If she had kept her focus upon moving away, she would have been looking at the blessings and changes that could take place in their life as they got away from that area of sin and wickedness. But instead, she kept looking back. Israel had a similar problem. You don't have to read very far in the book of Exodus or in the book of Numbers till you read, why did you take us out of Egypt? We had plenty to eat. We had all kinds of water. We didn't have any troubles there. Sorry, that's the way I usually read those passages. Like whiny little kids. And what they were doing is they were taking themselves away from the focus of God and the promises He had made. Instead of thinking on Canaan and the land flowing with milk and honey that was theirs, they were looking back at what they'd had before, what they'd had to leave behind. Why did you bring us out here to die? We can't get distracted by what's in our past. We need to be careful about the why didn't I? And what ifs? Lest they overcome us and overwhelm us and lose our focus on what's going to be. There's a big difference between learning from our mistakes and spending our life dwelling on them. You can put yourself in a deep, dank hole by dwelling on your mistakes in the past or questioning things that you may have done that there's absolutely no way you can make any changes over. Paul told the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. What were they? They were sinners. They were homosexuals. They were all kinds of wickedness, adulterers and liars and cheaters, thieves. That's what you used to be. But you've gotten rid of that. You've changed. You've been washed and cleansed from that. So take your focus off of that and put your focus on who you are now. Peter told his readers in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, beginning as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Stop focusing on what's in the past, whether we're looking at the good things of the past or we're looking at the things we've done that we may regret. One of the interesting things when I hear people start talking about the good old days, there's never any bad. Nobody remembers the problems of those days. They were good old days. Because all our kids played together in the streets and nobody had to worry about them being taken away from us. And certainly those are good ideas. They were good old days because we always had plenty to eat. It was always good tasting stuff. Nobody remembers the hours that were spent out hoeing in the garden, pulling weeds, shelling peas, shucking corn. The labor-intensive things that we engaged in. All we hear is the good things. We get distracted by that. And we begin to think things were better back then. And that means things are so bad now. But the Word of God says, don't look back. Don't go back to what you used to be. Don't hold on to things as they were. We're to focus on the here and now and the hereafter. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter says, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation. And they malign you, but they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Peter says, you left these things behind. You spent enough time in those. Don't get bogged down with them again. Don't let them get in the way. And I know some of us read those passages, lust and drunkenness and carousing, and well, that wasn't me. Some of us can't say that so assuredly, but you know, that's not the only thing that we used to be caught up in. Lies and thieving and deceit and unrighteousness. All those fruits of the world or of the flesh that Paul talks about in the Galatian letter, where to the Corinthian brethren that they were a part of. Spend enough time in those. Let's don't get caught up in them again. Don't become distracted by, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I sit down with my children every evening and read to them from the Bible? Did I pay enough attention to this particular aspect of this particular portion of my life? We can get caught up in those things and just consume ourselves. Don't look back at what's happening to the past. It's being destroyed. It's gone. We need to press on. Brings us to the other side of the equation. There is not a time that God has given us an instruction to don't do this where he didn't also include a do this instead. Oftentimes they're found in not but statements. Sometimes we misinterpret those, and we need to understand what God is telling us is this is what we need to leave behind and this is what we need to focus on. Rather than looking back like Lot's wife did and cost her life and all that was before, we need to be like the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is, as we mentioned in Bible class, he's a unique case, but he's also an interesting situation. The Apostle Paul had everything going for him. If there ever was anybody that could look back upon his past and say everything was great back then, the Apostle Paul is probably one of those that could do that. In fact, if we've been studying in our Wednesday night Bible class, he talks about how righteous he was and how focused he was upon serving God. And up until the time of Christ, he was at the top. But he was so focused on what he had been and what he was doing in regards to that he missed the Messiah when he came. And to some degree, that's what Paul is talking about here in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Not that I've already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on, so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. The Apostle Paul had a lot of things in his past that were positives in serving God under the law of Moses. He had credentials that none of the other apostles, as far as I know, could call upon in teaching the Jews especially. But Paul said, that's not what matters to me. I've laid aside all the things in my past because my focus is on moving forward, pressing on. My goal is to reach heaven. And so anything that's happened in my past is not in my vision anymore. It's not something I consider. That's, in many ways, just the opposite of what much of our world would impress upon us. We need to take advantage of the things that we have done great in the past, to use them to raise ourselves up. We need to focus on how blessed we are because of how high we have risen. We need to remember what we have achieved in the past because that makes us who we are today. The Apostle Paul said, no, it doesn't. Those things don't count because they're over and done with. They're behind me. In fact, Paul went so far as to indicate when he wrote to the Corinthian brethren, my mistakes prompt me to work harder. He learned from his mistakes rather than dwelling on them. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. And talking about the preaching to the Corinthian brethren, Paul says, I really don't deserve this. Because of who I used to be, what I had done in the past, I ought not be anything. But now I work to overcome that. I use those as stepping stones to grow and increase. You know, he goes a little further than that. He said, it is not I, but the grace of God with me. I don't even hold that the things I'm doing now are my own. They're through the grace of God. God has always pushed his people to move forward. Notice what he said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. We turn to Genesis chapter 12 for those promises, but let's make sure we pay attention to the first verse in that passage. The Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house. In other words, leave where you are behind and go where I am pointing you, to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Abraham, go forward. Leave this place behind. Leave who you are and become who I want you to be. If Abraham had never left his home, he'd have never been blessed by God. His first act was to move out. It's always been God's call to move ahead. Isaiah 43, verse 18, "Do not call to mind the former things, or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise." I suspect there's a lot of imagery there that we don't understand just by reading through it, and it'd take a good deal of work to figure some of it out. But for our purposes this morning, that first phrase, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past." You know what the problem was with the Jews in the day of Jesus? They were still hanging on to the past. They were still holding on to the tabernacle, well, the temple they were holding on to. They were still holding on to the high priest under the law of Moses. They weren't looking for the Savior, even though time and time again they had been told by God, look toward the Savior. Everything about the law of Moses was pointing to the Christ. Rather than looking ahead, they were looking back. God wants us to move forward. It's been His message all along. Reach ahead. Go forth. Don't get caught up in the past. Jesus taught the same thing. In Luke chapter 9, verse 57, beginning, they were going along the road and someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And he said to another, "Follow me." This one said, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." But Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus said, go forward. Don't dwell on the past. If we're going to serve Christ, we've got to look to Him. We've got to look to the end rather than where we've been. We can't be distracted by the things of this world, whether it is telling our family goodbye, burying our parents, working our job. Our focus has got to change from the world to be on God. The Hebrew writer tells us, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because just as soon as we take our eyes off of Him and look at what's going on around us, like Peter did when he asked the Lord to call him out to him on the Sea of Galilee, or we start looking back like Lot's wife did, or like Israelites did as they were in the wilderness, we get distracted. And we grow weary and we lose heart. We've got to keep looking forward. leave the past behind us, lest we be distracted by it. I cannot change what I did as a teenager or as a young adult. I can't change what I did in raising my children. I can't even change the decisions that I made last week. I can learn from them, but I can't change them. So there's no need to dwell on those things. What I can do is I can decide what I'm going to do today. I can make sure that I'm living a proper example before my neighbors and my family now. I can use the knowledge and wisdom that I have gained through making mistakes to make better decisions from this point forward. I've always appreciated the statements that Peter makes in 2 Peter chapter 3. He talks about the end of the world. And in verse 11 he says, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? Since you know this is all leaving, what should you be focused on? Or verse 14 and 15, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, the heavens and the new earth, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Don't weary in well-doing, because you know what awaits. And in the last two verses of that chapter, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you're not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brethren, what Peter tells us there is, as you're running the race, keep your eyes on the prize. Don't look back, because when you look back, you're going to fall. I guarantee you, if you don't think so, try it for yourself. Take off, run across the yard while looking over your shoulder to see what's behind you. Don't go do that, because you'll stumble and fall, because you'll be distracted by the past. Let us put our minds on the future. Do not look back, but press on for the goal. Reach for the Savior. Keep your eyes on Him, and you're much more likely to finish the course successfully. If we can get through this life successful in the eyes of God, heaven comes. If you look this morning and find things in your life that are amiss, we urge you to correct them. Set them right in the sight of God and put them behind you. Ask Him to forgive. He's promised that He will. They can be in your past and no longer a distraction to you. And you can set your goals and your focus upon Christ and keep Him in sight and overcome the temptations and trials that come upon you. You've never obeyed the gospel. You need to become a child of God. You don't have the help of God until you're a part of His family. If you're willing to confess your belief in the Savior as the Son of God, then the one who died upon the cross to pay the price for the sins of mankind, you can be saved. Turn away from your sins. Give yourself wholly over to the Lord. Submit yourself so that you might be baptized, immersed in water, so that you are buried with Christ, so that your sins might be washed away by His precious blood shed on Calvary's cross, and you can rise up out of that watery grave a new creature, a child of God, having been born again by water and the Spirit. You can devote your life to the Savior. Everything else behind you. No longer a distraction or a problem. Moving forward, focused upon the Lord. You look this morning and find those are your situations, and we can assist.
You're to come, but you're deserving only. We stand in sympathy with you.